At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Super Bowl 56, it is now in the rearview mirror as the Rams capture their second NFL title with a 23-20 win over the Bengals. And in our next segment, we are so excited to have back with us to get his thoughts and takeaways from this year's Super Bowl, always one of our favorites, and that is Super Agent Lee Steinberg. Lee, listen, you've had about a week to rest and recover from all the festivities. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. Good morning to you.
You just celebrated your 35th annual Lee Steinberg Super Bowl party in what, Culver City, and it brings a lot of folks together, some of the biggest names in sports and entertainment and business. What was the focus of this year's event, and how did it turn out?
It was wonderful. The Super Bowl party every year is a reflection of the fact that the Super Bowl has become a convention of Americana. Big business, big politics, big sports, big entertainment, and multiple parties and events, and somewhere in there, there's a football game. But the city is transformed for a week, and so we did a charity raise money for the Lantern Network, which helps at-risk kids learn about business and how to succeed. We did a brain health summit to explore the issue of athletic-related concussion, and we had a bunch of neurologists and other folk who talked about state-of-the-art prevention, awareness, cure. We had a brain lounge where new modalities like hyperbaric oxygen and stem cells were displayed. And we gave humanitarian awards to people like Tom Telesco, the general manager of the Chargers, for positive things they do off the field. And retired players like Christian Okoye got them. And the setting was Sony Studios, and that's a place I used to jump the fence as a kid when it was MGM. And I was playing backdrops.
Yeah.
So it would be an old Western town. It would be a Mexican hacienda. It would be a South Sea setup. So it was like redemption that came full circle. And we had Spider-Man wandering around and Wakanda with the guards from Black Panther. So it really was quite an amazing day.
You know, Lee, it's always so much fun, your Super Bowl party, and you do get to spend time with some of your closest friends that perhaps you don't get to see all year long. But what I love, you know, listening to you is it's about giving back and helping others and helping them reach their full potential, correct?
So basically, you're trying to make a positive difference in the world. And I was raised by a father with two core values. One, treasure relationships, especially family. And the second was to try to make a meaningful difference in the world. And sports can be a magnificent way to trigger positive imitative behavior. And so we had a number of players there, Taylor Heineke, the quarterback from Washington, and we probably had 25 of our clients there. And you just mix these different worlds together. So, you know, here is Snoop Dogg, and here is, here's Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And then over here, you've got the president of the San Francisco Giants or the athletic director from Cal Berkeley. And it's just a mix. But at the end of the day, it's an antidote to the noisy, boozy, crowded, dark parties that predominate. And ours is a daytime party. And it was really the best since Houston back in 2017.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You just mentioned your dad, and he's had a big influence on you. And what that was his favorite team and influenced you to really love the Rams growing up as a young boy. So how cool was it that they went on to win it all here in Super Bowl 56 at home?
So I want you to imagine it's the 50s and 60s, and my father is taking us to the games. But, yeah, you know, he's a teacher at high school, and so we have the dollar seats, which are so high in the Coliseum that you need an electron microscope to, like, try to identify an individual player. So that happens, and so I fall in love with football. And then back in 1994, the team was talking about leaving and going to St. Louis, and I just thought it was wrong to tear a team out of the heart of loyal fans. My son came to me and he said, "Dad, are they going to take Disneyland too?" So the concept was just bizarre. And so I formed a committee called the Committee to Save the Rams, and there were 125 businessmen, and we came up with a plan to build a sports town. So part of the problem with the economics of $5 billion SoFi is you only play 10 home dates there. And so now you have this massively expensive edifice that is vacant for, you know, the preponderant majority of the year. So we talked about having a Disneyland of sports, and you could go on virtual reality rides. There would be retail, and you would surround the stadium by an activity zone. And so we fought hard. The first league meeting came up, and we got the league to vote down the move. And she left Georgia Frontier for $30 million up front. Now, when the Rams came back to Los Angeles, they were valued at about $950 million, and now they're about $3.5 billion. We felt like redemption to have the Super Bowl back in my hometown, to have the team I grew up rooting for, and then they win. And it will have the effect, I think, of creating a whole new generation of Ram fans.
It's so cool just listening to you, just your passion. I mean, the Rams, obviously, very close to your heart. And as you just talked about, I mean, you played a pivotal role to save the Rams in the 90s when they left originally for St. Louis. So what does that mean to you now to have them back and to see them striding out, to see them excelling and win a world championship?
I think it's a real positive in a year that's been, you know, pandemic and had all sorts of negativity, to have, you know, a parade in Los Angeles. People misjudge Southern California because they make the assumption that our football fans are blasé. And they're really not. This area supports two football teams, two pro soccer teams, two pro basketball teams, two pro baseball teams, and two pro soccer teams, and SC and UCLA. And so there's what happens is, for some of the games, fans of the visiting team will bid so much for Ram ticket holders to go to that one game that sometimes the stadium looks like, you know, it's 70% Rams but 30% the other team. But that's not really reflective of the desire for pro football here. And the interesting thing is, even when the Rams were in St. Louis, the top-rated sport was still pro football.
You know, it's so interesting. You were talking about redemption, things coming full circle. And, of course, when the Rams were in St. Louis in 99, one of my favorite guests, he was just on the program about a week ago, and that is legendary Super Bowl winning coach Dick Vermeil, won it all in 99 with Kurt Warner. And I was just thinking about him, watching him at halftime when they introduced the latest inductees that are going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How cool is that to see things come to full circle for him? I always say, Dick, you're 85 years young, but what comes to your mind when you think of the legendary coach Dick Vermeil, and just, you know, what he has meant to the game of football, and his players, they just loved him so much.
Well, once again, that has a Southern California twist because Dick coached
it
here
does,
at UCLA. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I sent him a congratulatory telegram.
Okay.
I loved it because he had a group of older coaches, and he was older, and yet they were highly productive. So there's one for us baby boomers.
Hey, so glad you're with us, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. So give us your takeaways from the Rams defeating the Bengals and be going on to be world champions.
First of all, you saw the emergence of another young quarterback, Joe Burrow. That's a team that was playing on house money, the Bengals, because they were too young to understand they were supposed to be intimidated. And they'll emerge as a great power. In terms of the Rams, it was a important year for Matt Stafford. What happens with a quarterback is their ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl, and he now has that monkey off his back. And Aaron Donald, shows why he might be the most dramatic defensive player in the history of the league with that last-minute sack. And then Cooper Kupp comes in and dominates. I will tell you, in 48 years of representing professional athletes, I've rarely ever seen someone walk off into the sunset like the sports movie would have it. They love playing too much, and they miss the camaraderie of the locker room, and they miss the structure that comes, and they miss the adrenaline rush. So, people always say, well, sure, he did it the right way. Well, what you don't know, unless you're the agent of the player who retired, is the fact that after four games in the season, he called up and said, do you think somebody still wants me? this player, that's been my experience with players that retired. So I think they'll be back, and it will be dominant. I think at the end of the day, it just shows how dominant professional football is because, you had great ratings, and I think the league made a little bit controversial choice in featuring rap and hip-hop, but I think it was a response to the fact that the players are 70% black, and so I think there's some people who that's not their taste, but the league went ahead and made a statement.
We've talked about this over the past couple of weeks. I mean, the NFL season now has come to a close, but there wasn't one truly dominant team this season. Lee, why do you feel like it was harder to predict, hey, we can definitely count on this one team? I mean, what's the trend that we're seeing?
I think it's the effect of the cap. Now, it doesn't stop there from being totally great teams, but dynasties are very hard because what happens is that the biggest challenge now for the Rams will be, can they keep their free agents? The cap forces them to discard players, and then injury plays a disproportionate role. So because of the cap, if you're paying a star player at left tackle $15 million, it means the player behind him has to be a rookie, a undrafted free agent, a veteran at the minimum. So the drop-off when a key player gets injured is huge, and they don't have the player to replace the starter who just got hurt because they're not just sitting around, on the street, and they don't have the cap room. So a key injury will alter the competitive situation, and I think, again, this was the league's intention to create parity. Now, it doesn't totally work because, Ben Roethlisberger just retired, my former client, after 18 years, and he won every single year.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't happen. You should have teams go up, have three or four dominant years, go through rebuilding and back again. And when that doesn't happen, like with the New England Patriots or other teams, when they continue to play well, or the Packers, That means they have a gifted organization.
So as we wrap up our time, give me a quick hit on Patrick Mahomes. What is his focus in the offseason, and how would you summarize how the Chiefs' season played out? Obviously, their goal was to win the Super Bowl, and they fell short.
It reminds me of the Buffalo Bills, who were among the two best teams in pro football for 4 years, but because they lost, their reign was characterized not as excellence, but as, you know, defeat. Patrick's reaction to losing was mature, as always, to take responsibility, as always, to look at what he could do better. And I think he took 2 days off and went back to training. So he's already focused on next season and the Super Bowl.
He is the trailblazing sports agent, one of the most revered names in all of sports, the CEO and chairman of Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, always a biggie favorite, and that is the great Lee Steinberg. You stay safe, and we look forward to another conversation real soon. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.